Off their album God Bless, that's the Citradels with GRC. Gum was in there too with The Underdog, and the newest one from Belle and Sebastian, that one only dropped in January, You Caught the Same Star. You are on The Daily here this morning on 2SER 107.3. My name is Tess Connery, and of course I'm going to be here with you until 12 midday. Do hope you are enjoying the morning thus far. Now, Iceland's Progressive Party is pushing for a bill to ban the circumcision of young males unless it's required for health reasons. Religious groups are criticising the bill, but the Progressive Party says the circumcision of young boys violates Article 12 of the United Nations Convention on the Rights of Children. On the line with us now to discuss the issue is Dr. Holly Dole-McAway, a law lecturer at Macquarie University. Holly, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Thanks for having me on, Tess.
So, you know, I suppose when you think of human rights violations, you think of, you know, the really horrific stuff that does happen around the world, like, you know, your sort of torture and detention camps, things like that. But, you know, the argument is that the circumcision of young boys is a human rights violation. Could you explain to us what the reasoning there is?
Sure. There are many articles in various human rights treaties that point to male circumcision being a violation of a child's human rights. There are several, but my focus is on the Convention on the Rights of the Child, as well as the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights. Now, there's various articles in the Convention on the Rights of the Child, and Iceland is pointing to one of those, and that is Article 12 of that convention. And that article says that children have the right to have their views heard about all matters affecting them in accordance with their age and maturity. Now, it's very clear that most male circumcisions occur close after birth, and so children are unable to consent to such a procedure. And most male circumcisions occur for non-therapeutic reasons, largely associated with religious reasons. And so that's why Iceland is pointing to Article 12 as being the main article that they say breaches human rights if male circumcisions are carried out, because of the lack of consent, because of the lack of ability to obtain consent from the person whom this procedure is being carried out on. But there are many other articles that you could point to that justify a argument based around a breach of a human right, a child's human rights. And Article 14 of the Convention on the Rights of the Child is one of them. That is the article that says that children have the right to freedom of thought, conscience, and religion. There's also Article 19, which is children's right to freedom from abuse, which includes bodily integrity. And Article 24 of that convention, the right to proper health care and only necessary medical assistance. I think also Article 18 of the convention, the covenant that I mentioned before, the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights, is an interesting one, because that is the article that provides for what people know as the right to freedom of thought, conscience, and religion. But interestingly, in subsection 3 of that article, there are qualifications of how somebody is able to manifest their religious beliefs. And that qualification is that somebody manifesting their religious beliefs is subject to qualifications and limitations. And interestingly, those limitations are prescribed in that article as being limitations associated with not harming the fundamental rights and freedoms of others. So that's where you can point to Article 18 of the ICCPR, the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights, as qualifying the right to freedom of religion. So it's not a right that doesn't have any limitations.
It seems like a pretty convincing case. Has any bill like this passed before, in any of the governments around the world?
Yes, Germany in 2012 banned religious circumcision. They made it illegal. And Denmark and Sweden have legislation against non-therapeutic male circumcision. And
okay.
Other jurisdictions are likely to follow.
Yeah, because I hadn't, I'll be honest, I hadn't sort of heard of this until it came up, Iceland sort of having their debate around it. I suppose, the biggest resistance would be, I'm imagining, from a religious group saying, this is part of our religion, this is part of our faith. How did that go down in some of the countries that have banned male circumcision, do we know?
Well, I think that's very difficult to to weigh the religious arguments against human rights arguments, and sometimes those arguments conflict with one another. However, as a human rights lawyer, human rights are universal and they are not subject to qualifications. They apply to all humans, irrespective of their age. This applies to children, to adults, to all people. This is not something, human rights are not something that you can pick and choose depending on a person's age. You can't say that, well, children are mini humans with mini human rights. That's no longer seen as appropriate, although in times gone by, absolutely, children were paternalized and treated as if they were humans in waiting, you know, human beings in waiting, as if they didn't have a full set of human rights at birth. And I think that that is, male circumcision is one of the vestiges of that approach to children, that approach of children not having agency when scholars and practitioners all around the world are now advancing notions around children's agency and capacity to participate in decision making. So I think that those jurisdictions who have made male circumcision illegal have taken a very brave step at law. And that's not the only way you can do this. I think one very effective way of overcoming problems associated with male circumcision, which I want to be very clear, my perspective is that it is not appropriate, that it is a form of abuse against male children and that it needs to end, is through education. And we're finding that in Australia a lot now, is that parents are choosing, irrespective of their religious beliefs, to not circumcise their male children because evidence is coming out that the benefits of male circumcision, health benefits, don't outweigh the risks, and that there is inconclusive medical evidence about that. Sure, there are some positives in terms of male circumcision, but the risks associated with that and the harm done to children at a very young age, many parents and certainly the Royal Australasian College of Physicians agrees that those risks are not outweighed by the benefits.
And so you did mention Australia there, I guess. Do you think it's realistic to say that Australia might follow suit? We might start moving towards putting a ban on non-medical male circumcision sometime in the foreseeable future.
Well, it's already not a practice that you can, not a procedure that you can have carried out in a public hospital. So parents have to go to a private hospital to have this procedure carried out. So it's, In a sense, this is no longer something that is supported by the government. So in that sense, whilst there's not legislation against male circumcision, there's policy against it. And I think that, unfortunately, we don't have a parliament at the moment, I believe, who would be prepared to run legislation to ban male circumcision. I think that that would take a brave parliament, and sadly at the moment I don't think that our parliament is ready to enact the Convention on the Rights of the Child and ICCPR in that respect with regard to male children. But I think what our government is prepared to do is make it difficult for male circumcisions to be carried out and costly. So really by policy and through education, I think is our best way to ensure that male circumcision in Australia, the rates of male circumcision continue to decline as they have been over the last 10 years.
Well, fingers crossed. I guess we see something moving along sometime soon. Holly, really appreciate your time this morning.
Thank you, Tess.
That was Dr. Holly Dole-McAway, a law lecturer at Macquarie University, speaking to us this morning about Iceland's move to potentially ban male circumcision.